You know, a couple weeks ago for Easter, I sang with the praise team and I stood next to Hannah. And she was always doing this directing thing, and I thought she was doing it for me. Because I was standing there, and I think she didn't think that I knew when to cut off and when to do things like that. And I usually know when to cut off, I don't know when to come in. But anyway, I was glad to see she was doing it again today. She says it's for herself, but I don't know if I believe it. Because I can see her doing it down there, so I think she's doing it for me. Anyway, but neither here nor there. I do want to just stop right now and say a word of prayer for Alan Morgan as he's doing the courtyard ministry. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to share the good word of Jesus Christ in the courtyard today. And I just pray that you be with Alan as he brings it to the people there. And I just pray their hearts will be open and receptive. And Lord, that through his words out of your word, Lord, that people would be drawn to you and be with them and bless them in a very special way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to be finishing up our it's kind of a mini-series. I didn't use the word, but we've been looking at the restoration of Peter. As most of you know, Peter really blew it. I mean, he really blew it. At the time when Jesus really could have used his support and encouragement, not only did Peter not do that, he denied Jesus three times. Just outright denied him. In fact, the last time he denied him, he called a curse to deny Jesus Christ. And he really blew it. So Peter, I know at this time, was at an all-time low. And for the past 3 weeks, we've been looking at Jesus and how he's been restoring and working with Peter. And the first Sunday, we looked at how when Peter had gone fishing, Jesus met them there by the lake, and he had prepared a breakfast for them. And he told them where to fish so that they could catch a lot of fish. And he had a breakfast with him. He did not yell at Peter. He did not say anything to Peter at that time. I just perceived that they had a great time of fellowship together. But then after that, last Sunday, we looked at that Jesus singled Peter out and asked him questions. Jesus knew very well what Peter had done. In fact, he predicted that Peter would do it. And he asked Peter these questions. Peter, do you love me? If you love me, I want you to feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? If you love me, I want you to tend my sheep. Peter, do you love me? If you love me, will you feed my sheep? And so we see this Jesus restoring Peter. Yes, Peter was a little hurt at the third time, and I think maybe he was hurt because it brought him back to the third time that he denied Jesus Christ. We don't know why, but yet Jesus was still so very tender with Peter and giving him the opportunity to come back and to verify his faith in Jesus, and Peter did this. But that wasn't the end of the story, and a lot of times we just focus on Jesus asking Peter the three questions and his response, but there's still a section after that we need to look at, and it's one in which Jesus uses two very familiar words. He says to Peter, follow me. Follow me. Peter, I want you to follow me. I'm going to just read through this text so that, because I'm not going to break it up so much, I'm going to kind of head out a little bit on this one. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading John chapter 21, verse 18 through 25. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grew old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one whom he had leaned back on his bosom at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Therefore, this saying went out among the brethren, that that disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you?" Let's pray. Father, speak to us through your word. Show us the truths that you want us to learn. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Jesus reinstates Peter by asking him to serve. "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep. Feed my sheep." But the story doesn't end there, because that's all good, but Peter had to do something. Peter had to do something here. He was called, he was challenged by Jesus to do this, but he had to get going. He had to follow Jesus. This is something that Peter had heard before. Now, twice in this passage, in John 21, verse 19, he says, "Now he said this to signify what kind of death that would glorify God. And when he had spoken these things, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" And then in verse 22, Jesus says to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." These are not unfamiliar words, because if we go back to Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 19, this is when Peter first was getting to know Jesus, or maybe the first time he met Jesus. He says, "Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" So the cool thing is here is Jesus is restating his call. "Peter, follow me. Peter, follow me." He had to say it twice, because Peter, again, was one of these guys that was somewhat of an impulsive character, and he would immediately jump into something and then kind of back off. And so I think Jesus had to remind him, "Yes, Peter, you need to continue to follow me." And but you know, I want to just kind of pick up that phrase. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Because most of us in here would say, "Yes, I'm a follower of Jesus. I am a follower of Jesus." You know, we have certain phrases that we use, and we say them so often that I'm not sure we really know what they mean. Now, do you remember back? Oh, I don't know. Well, some of you might not, because probably it was in the 80s. In the 80s, the big thing was born again. Remember that? Born again. I was born again. You know? And quite frankly, I'm not sure what most of the people thought when they said that. But that's what Christians were. They were born again. So I'm a Christian, so I must be born again. And so, you know, we get these phrases and we throw them out there. But do we really stop to think what we're saying when we say them? Followers of Jesus. Follow me. Yes, I'm a follower of Jesus. But what does it mean to follow Jesus? And I just have five things that I'm going to just briefly share with you about what it means to follow Jesus. The first thing, if we follow Jesus, and we talked about this, you know, last week too a little bit, but we need to be obedient to Jesus. We need to be obedient. We cannot follow if we are not obedient to the one we are following. You know, if someone is going to lead you on a hike, and they're the guide, you're not being obedient to them if you decide, well, I know they say that direction, but I'm going to try this trail. I'm going to go this way. And I'm going to go this way. And I'm going to go that way. You know, I mean, in this fun run thing, they're going to have to be people all along the course to make sure that Pastor May does not find a shortcut. Because if he can find one, he will take it. And anything that would shorten the distance down to, you know, because what is 4K? It's like half a mile? 2.5 miles? That's too many. But you got to be obedient, or you're not a follower. You know, if you're not obedient to the person who is leading you, then you're not their follower. You're not following. So in order to be a follower of Jesus Christ, we need to have that obedience to God and to follow Him. Hebrews 5:9 says, "And having been made perfect, He became to all those who obey Him a source of eternal salvation." We have the word obedience in there. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, "But Peter and the apostles answered, 'We must obey God rather than men.'" And this is when they were told not to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you go back to the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land." But it's this obedience. We have to obey Him. Now, Peter answered all the questions right. But now Peter has a choice. Am I going to do what I said? Am I going to be obedient to Jesus Christ? And am I going to follow Him? Now, of course, we know Peter did follow Him. In fact, Peter followed and became a very, very, very strong force in the church as it grew. So we need to be have obedience to God. We need to be committed to following Jesus Christ. Committed. In Matthew 16:24, we read, "Then Jesus said to His disciples, 'If anyone wishes to come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Him.'" What does that statement mean? Take up your cross. Well, if you're taking up your cross, anyone who carried a cross, it was a one-way trip. You never carried it back. You carried your cross to the place where you were crucified on that cross. And so if you're carrying your cross, you are committed. You're going one direction and you're not going to turn around and go a different direction. In fact, in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand on the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." And this is the one who wanted to go say goodbye or go bury his father. Now, again, that sounds like Jesus is being awful mean here if he won't even let some guy go to his father's funeral. Well, that's the when he means bury his father, what he generally means there is I want to be with my father until he dies, and then I will follow you. And Jesus is saying, hey, it's not that you've got to be committed to following Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, Peter and John are being questioned by the leaders, the religious leaders of those days. And so this is what they say. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in your sight, in the sight of God, to give heed to you rather than God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. We are committed. We can't stop. And I think a lot of times we who are saying we are followers of Christ are kind of a take it and leave it attitude. Yeah, oh yeah, I'll follow him here because, you know, hey, this is pretty cool. Oh, not going there, not doing that. I only want to do the fun things. Well, as we look at this, what it means to follow Jesus Christ, it's not necessarily a fun trip. It's not a fun trip. It's not a fun trip. So we need to have obedience to God. We need to be committed to God. And, we need to be willing to sacrifice if we're going to be followers. We need to be really to sacrifice. Now listen to what Jesus said to Peter after he tells them to feed my sheep and ask me if he loves me. This is what Jesus says to Peter, and these are not good works. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. So we're kind of getting the idea here, when you were younger, Peter, you could go wherever you wanted to go. But when you get old, Peter, someone is going to gird you, and that basically means they're going to get tied his hands together, and they're going to take you where you don't want to go. And then he ends it by saying, now this, he said, signifying what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. He just told Peter that he was going to die for him. That he was going to be martyred for him. And you know, it's the same thing comes to us. You know, we may need to give our life to follow Jesus Christ. And we do give him our life. We put it in his hands and we let him have control. And so we need to sacrifice the control that we have. We need to sacrifice some of the things we might want to do. Matthew 8:21-22 says, another disciple said to him, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, follow me and allow the dead to bury their dead. He had to sacrifice time with his father by following Jesus Christ. When I was younger and I felt a call to go into ministry, the seminary for our denomination was in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Now that doesn't sound like the ends of the earth to you, but it seemed like it to me. And the biggest thing is it was 1,500 miles away from my folks. I had never left home. I lived in the home until I married Melissa. And then my folks had to say, no, 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 you're not coming back after the honeymoon. You know? Hey, we had a perfectly good room upstairs. Melissa wouldn't mind sharing the cooking every once in a while, but you know. Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And 1,500 miles away from Melissa's folks. And she was much younger than I was, and so this was such a tender age. Although she was a ton of worldly, she went to Seattle and went to Seattle Pacific. So, Seattle, it was Pacific? Yeah, at either university. She went there. So she was, Lisa left home. I went to school and stayed home. Nothing wrong with that, folks. Saved a lot of money, didn't have any school debts to speak of. It was tough to leave home. It really was. I loved where I grew up. I grew up in Western Oregon, in the Willamette Valley, where fishing is great, and you're 45 minutes from the ocean, you're an hour and a half to the mountains, all kinds of rivers run through it, and it just was a great place to grow up. I loved it. But I had to leave it to follow what God wanted me to do. And Melissa had a similar thing, too. She had to leave her folks and everything she knew to follow the Lord. But it was worth it. But it is a sacrifice. When Jesus was talking to a man who had a lot of wealth, and he asked, what must I do to basically get into heaven? In Matthew 19:21, Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give them to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And come, follow me. There's that, come, follow me. Well, you all know what happened in this case. The guy was rich. A lot of stuff. Wasn't about to make that sacrifice, and so he did not follow Jesus Christ. Following Jesus Christ is a sacrifice. If you don't feel like you're sacrificing some things to follow Jesus, then maybe you need to look to see, am I really following Jesus? Am I really following Jesus? And then, if you're following Jesus, you have a focus that is on Jesus. Your focus is Jesus. It's not on everything going on around you. Now, we see this in our passage today in John 21. In verses 20 and 20 through 22, we see that after Jesus says, basically, Peter, you're going to be martyred. And the Bible doesn't talk about Peter's death, but tradition has that 34 years about after this period of time that Peter was crucified. He was going to be hung on a cross too, but he requested to be hung upside down because he did not want to be hung in the same manner that Christ was. He didn't feel that he was worthy to be hung there. So he was crucified, and he was led to the place where he was hung on a cross, much like his master was. But after Jesus had said that, Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his bosom at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And I'm thinking that this is probably the sternest words that Jesus said this whole time to Peter, is when he says, what is that to you? In other words, keep your eyes on me. Don't look at everyone around you. We all have different paths that we're going that have been designed for us by God. My path is not your path, and your path is not my path, and your path is not your neighbor's path. And a lot of times we like to say, well, so-and-so is not doing that, so why should I? Well, was so-and-so called to do that? If you feel you're called, don't look around. If you want to follow Jesus Christ, don't look to see what everybody else is doing. Follow Jesus Christ. Get into His Word. Read what God has there for you and follow it. When you do that, your focus will be on Jesus Christ. Now, Peter had trouble with focus. A lot of people who are impulsive do. In Matthew 14:28-30, this is where The disciples were in a boat and there was stormy outside. Jesus was not with them, but he came walking to them on the water. And then this is where Peter, impulsive Peter, says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. Great. Verse 30. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." What did he do? He was walking on water. He did something that none of us will ever do. He was walking on water. It says he got out of the boat and he walked towards Jesus. It didn't say he got out of the boat and sank. He walked towards Jesus. He was walking on the water. You know, instead of saying, "Hey, wow, this is really cool, I'm walking on the water. I've never done this before. I like this." You know, instead of doing this, all of a sudden he took his eyes off of Jesus and he started seeing what was going on around him. So he lost his focus. And I think we do that too. We get concerned with everything that's going on in this world. And it takes our focus off of God. And we need to have our focus on Him. We need to have our focus on Him. If we're going to follow Him, our focus is Jesus Christ. Now, at this point, you may be saying, "Wow, do I really want to follow Him? Do I really want to follow Him?" You know, you have to be obedient, you have to be committed, you have to make sacrifices, you have to keep a singular focus. Well, there's one more word I want to throw in there at you. And that is, when you follow Jesus, you have life. You have life. Listen to what he says in Matthew 16:24-27. It says, "Then Jesus said to the disciples, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with the angels, and then repay every man according to his deeds." There is a bright light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to following Jesus Christ. You may go through difficult times. You may be hard things in your life. But at the end, there is a bright light. And you are going to be rewarded for the things that you do. Now, granted, you're not going to get salvation by the things you do. That only comes through believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But you are going to be rewarded for following Jesus Christ. You are going to be blessed. In fact, in John 10:10, Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly, to the full." And that is in the perfect tense. That doesn't mean that it's in the future tense, that somewhere down the line you're going to have an abundant life. He says, "I have come that they may have the abundant life right now." Right now. So following Christ, following Jesus is, yeah, you're going to have to put effort into that. It's going to take work and it may be hard and you have to make sacrifices and you have to keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ or you're not going to make it. But you also need to realize by doing so, you will experience a life that is abundant, a life that is free, a life that you cannot find by following the world or by just simply being a casual Christian. I don't even know you can be a casual Christian. Following Jesus is a lot bigger than we think. It isn't just a phrase that we would say, you know, like the "what would Jesus do" phrase. You know, man, they wore that one to death. But a follower of Jesus, what does it mean? Well, it means these things. What's in it for us, if you want to look at the bottom line? Well, if you're going to ask that question, then you're probably going to miss it anyway. But if you do this, you will have life. Life eternal, but you will have a fulfilled life here on this earth. A life that will be so blessed, not necessarily in material goods, not in all kinds of things that we have, or that nothing will ever go wrong in our life. Never promised in the scripture that nothing will go wrong in our life. But we will have a life that will stand firm, and we will have a peace and contentment that this world just simply does not know and will never know until they come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Are you following Christ? Are you truly following Jesus? Let's pray. Father, thank you for calling us to follow you. Now, Lord, help us to be obedient, to be consistent, to be sacrificial, to be focused, knowing, Lord, that in this we will know life, and we will know life abundantly. Father, I pray that we would not be people who just say the words, but Father, I pray that we would be people who truly follow. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just stand with us.